News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Dormer extensions, Velux windows, bike storage in front gardens and external wall insulation are among a raft of home improvements that may end up being exempted from planning laws. That's according to a sweeping review of the planning system that's likely to be published in the coming weeks. Gavin Lawler is president of the Irish Planning Institute. Gavin, this, of course, is a way to try to find space for people to live. You get things like having people able to live in the back garden in a timber cabin. Is that positive?
Yes and no. There are aspects to what the minister's talking about which will be very helpful in terms of clarifying the situation for people. But on another level, there are concerns, not insignificant concerns, particularly around the concept of the garden cabin being converted into another unit, so to speak, another dwelling.
What's the problem with that?
Well, there's quite a number of problems, not least if you do it as an exempted development. Well, then your neighbours have no rights. So if you put it in the wrong place, if you have windows that are overlooking, if you have issues in relation to access to the rear of your property, if there's problems in the future in terms of selling on the house, which, you know, you're selling it on with the cabin in the back garden, or are they two separate pieces of property? There's all sorts of complications that sit around it that aren't just simply straightforward.
So, but surely the same could be said, I mean, not the neighbour overlooking thing, but the thing like if you do an attic extension, you have the same, or an attic conversion, you have the same issue as whether you're selling it with it or not, depending on what the regulations were at the time. Is that complex? Is that not something that a buyer can see past?
Well, you see, it's all about, we would now have no problem in the Institute with either option as such in the event that there was appropriate measures put in place. And I suppose the devil is in the detail here. What are the qualifications on the exemptions? What are the rules and regulations around it? Because it's not just simply as straightforward as buy a cabin, plunk it in the back garden, and then you have another house. You have to plumb it, you have to connect it into Irish water, you know. So it's not that straightforward. And having an attic conversion as well and selling that doesn't work unless the attic conversion has its own door, its own means of access up into the attic, which is very difficult to provide for in a lot of the current houses as they're built.
Well, what about that then in relation to the exceptions for dormer extensions, Velux windows? Because I assume implicit in that list is that people will start to convert the attics without necessarily going through a whole load of permissions.
So there are specific provisions at the moment that allow you to convert your attic. It's not that you need planning permission to convert your attic currently. There's just conditions, terms and conditions on it. One of which is that you must have any windows in it to the rear of the property. And so what I would presume when they talk about exemptions around Velux windows and dormers, that's to the front of the property rather than just to the rear. So as that it doesn't limit or prevent the ability to be able to convert the attic. There is also an issue in relation to the total quantum of floor space that you're allowed to extend into. Previously, that's been 40 square metres, and there's been some confusion as to whether an attic space is included or excluded from that 40 square metres. Often as not, people perceive they're allowed to convert their attic and put on a 40 square metre extension, but most planners would believe that the 40 square metres applies to the whole lot when you add it up as a sum. So I think there's going to be clarification around that. So a lot of this is going to be the detail around the actual existing exemptions. And this is quite a complex area. It's not, just as simply a case of seeing it in a list and then plug and play, off we go and build it.
Can I ask from your perspective as president of the Irish Planning Institute, when you look at these kind of proposals, when you look at proposals that have been made around things like converting for use above the shops, derelict building, stimulation, all those kind of things, do they have the whiff of deck chairs in the Titanic? That while they may give certain, they may increase the numbers, in the total quantum of what we actually have to build, there are side issues compared to getting greenfield zones and putting houses on them.
No, I disagree with that one. I think we're mixing two things up very much so here. On the idea of reinvigorating town centres, I think that's absolutely crucial. That's critical that we do that. Is it going to make a huge big dent in the total quantum of housing numbers that we need? No, not in its own right. But in a small way, when we add it all up together, it's going to make a difference. The key issue is getting people living back in town centres, which then encourages other retail services to reopen a lot of our rural towns and villages. villages, which have closed over the years, and that reinvigorates the towns. So it's not just simply a binary case of we need more houses, give us more green fields, please.
Well, what about then the recent proposal that there would be a loosening of the rules around things like provision of sites to family members for them to build on? A lot of the criticism was that it would have exactly the opposite effect that you're describing, that it would draw people out of rural towns. Have you concerns about that?
Yeah, we would do. The rural housing piece is something that, again, that's very, very complex. Rural dwellers, people who live in the countryside, I'm one myself. If you live or work on a farm, if you have a rural enterprise based in a rural area, it's correct that you should live, and if you work in the rural community, live there. But I think what happened in terms of bungalow bliss in the 1970s is this, it seemed to become this expectation that living in the countryside was a good thing. Then it became cheaper to build in the countryside than it did in an urban area. And so we got this flourish of rural housing. And that creates in its own right problems, because you get people who live in remote areas, and then as people get older, then those areas suit less and less, because you can't get to your house except via car. All of the services that you need, waste collection, etc., have to travel further, use more carbon. So it's a difficult debate, and how do you distinguish between somebody who lives in a rural community and works in a community and somebody who's from an urban area? So we do have current policy that talks about urban generated houses versus rural generated houses. But it's a complex debate. It's not just simply a case of loosening the shackles and let's go and that'll solve the problem. Again, I think there's a subtlety. We fall into the trap of oversimplifying this issue. It's a very complex issue. And trying to soundbite it. And so loosening the change or making things more clear for particularly rural dwellers will be welcomed by the likes of farmers and farm communities who find it a significant challenge to secure planning permission for their kids and for themselves. At the same time, trying to prevent exactly what you talk about, that urban drain out into the rural countryside. But again, rural housing isn't the answer.
Okay, Gavin, thank you very much. Gavin Lawler, President of the Irish Planning Institute.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.